passage that is very well known. And somebody asked me before church if I was going to be doing illusions again today. And once a year up here is enough. But I appreciate the great response last week, and to have our children here in service with us in the auditorium was wonderful. And then Wednesday night, I had children coming to me to show me that they learned illusions and they could do them too. And that was kind of neat. And one parent told me that the child had been going around the house all week practicing. And so I like to hear that. And it's always always rewarding. And to pique their interest. So if you have your Bibles, we're continuing on in our series entitled Stretch. And our scripture today is found in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 30 down to verse number 47. So Luke 10, verse 30. Sorry, down to verse 37. Let's read together audibly. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. From this very familiar passage of Scripture that we know as the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan, I want to speak about the gift of interruption. The gift of interruption. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, and then we'll start into our subject for today. Father, thank you for your presence. And Lord, I thank you that you speak into our lives in so many different ways. Lord, you speak to us through your word. You speak to us through your spirit. You speak to us through what's going on around us and through your voice in our hearts. Today, Lord, I pray that you'll enable me to speak under the anointing, Lord, that it will not simply be the words of man, but Lord, it'll be the words that you want to have spoken. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive today, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. We've been in a series entitled Stretched, and we've been talking about how God will take things that stretch us in our lives and will use them to teach us. He'll use them to help us grow. He'll use those things to change our direction in life. He stretches us. And we all go through stretching experiences within our lives. We all experience it. I was out on my bike the other day, and there were some people that were getting ready to run, and they looked like they were pretty intense. And so they were doing stretches on the grass beside the bike path, and they were stretching out. And I will be honest, I looked at them and I thought, that would really hurt. You know what I mean? It's like, I couldn't do it. And they were stretching to prepare for what was about to take place. God stretches us. Sometimes through our circumstances and the things that we go through and the people that we meet. Sometimes it's internally through our own thought processes. God stretches us. But this morning I want to talk about interruptions. When I was a kid, my parents were pretty emphatic about something, and that was when they were talking, I was listening. Anybody ever have that? You've had that conversation? And if you tried to speak in the middle of it, I'm talking now. You know, especially, you know, when you got in trouble and they're telling you the way it's going to be and the way it's going to work, and then you want to speak up in the middle of it, and that's, no, you're not, don't you say a word right now. Don't you interrupt me. You want this to get worse? None of us like to be interrupted. We don't like it when somebody interrupts our train of thought. We don't like it when somebody speaks when we're speaking interruptions. But yet, God can use interruptions within our life to speak to us. God uses interruptions within our lives to change our direction. Sometimes God interrupts us to get our attention. Sometimes we're pretty oblivious. There's a gift of interruptions. They irritate, though. They frustrate us. And often, when we're interrupted, we fail to see the opportunity in the moment. What's happening around me? Even when Jesus was teaching, He would be stretching the minds of those who were listening to Him. One of those times is our text for today. Jesus was teaching, and a man described as a scribe or a lawyer speaks up and asks a question about what's the greatest commandment. And you can imagine Jesus is teaching. And I've had that happen to me on occasion when I've been speaking and somebody spoke up and asked a question in the middle of it. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you're trying to, after the interruption, you're trying to get back, and it's like, where was I now? And Jesus was speaking. He asked the question, what is the great commandment? And Jesus began to stretch His mind. And one thing that Jesus will do, if you're a new follower of Jesus, if you're just investigating Jesus, or if you've been following for a while, one thing that Jesus does is He stretches your mind. Somebody said, no, Christians are just closed-minded. Well, if you're totally closed-minded, you're not going to do well as a Christian. You say, what do you mean by that? God stretches our minds. He stretches our thought processes. Not to be accepting of evil, not to simply say everything is good, but He stretches us beyond our habits. He stretches us beyond our learned capacity. He stretches us beyond the things that we have fallen into doing. He stretches our minds to understand what He wants to do. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't understand that so well because we live in a different culture. And what Jesus does to this lawyer, this scribe, is mind-stretching. He's going to upend his preconceived ideas. He's going to take his prejudices. You know, prejudice isn't anything new. It's been around as long as there's been people who have had differences. He takes that man's preconceived ideas and his prejudices, and he's going to stretch him. And as a follower of Jesus, there have been times that I've read the Word, and it's stretched my mind. There have been times that I've heard a message, and it's challenged me to stretch, to broaden my thinking. Stretching. And Jesus, in our text, to us, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a Bible story you learn in Sunday school, as in kindergarten class, or in primary, or juniors. But Jesus, in this story, it's like he's saying, let me take the top off your head, reach in and stretch your brain out so it'll never fit where it fit before. That's what Jesus is doing here. Interruptions. He took advantage of the interruption to speak truth. You know, it's funny. In the Gospel of Luke, the first miracle you read about in the Gospel of Luke, not the first miracle Jesus did, but the first miracle that you'll find there, Jesus is interrupted by a demonically possessed man. And the man stands and starts screaming and making noise, and what do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And he interrupts, and Jesus said, be quiet and come out of him. He took advantage of an interruption to deliver the man. The Bible says that the people were amazed, and they said, who is this man that speaks with such authority? How can he do this? Because he's not simply speaking, but he speaks with authority, and even the evil spirits come out of people. Imagine. See, I have a saying. I taught it to my kids over and over and over. I was talking to the city engineer on the project out front, the street project. We have two projects going on, if you're not familiar with what's happening here. We have our project and then the city's project, and it just happened they were both at the same time. So I was talking to the city engineer because we were being inconvenienced, and we were just talking. I try to talk to him as often as I can. And, nice young man, and we're standing out there talking, and he said, look, I apologize that this was Labor Day weekend, you know, you're going to have an issue getting in. I'm trying to get them to make it so you can use your front, but you're going to have an issue. You might remember that Sunday, we had to all come through the back door, and it was raining to beat. It was cats. I don't know where cats and dogs come into rain, but it was raining cats and dogs, and we had to all use the back door, and we couldn't use the front, and we had water coming in because the roof was off, and yeah, it was that Sunday. And so I saw him after that. He said, how did it go? I apologize. They didn't, you know, fix it up for you because the contractor doing it. And I said, look, you know what? There's a parable, or there's a saying that should be in the Bible, but it's not. But I think it should be because it's great to live by. And that is, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And it's not in the Bible. You know, it's like cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible either. This is not in the Bible, but I think it would be good. Because when you're flexible, you don't get bent out of shape as much. And so, Jesus is teaching. And, you know, Jesus lived this. He was teaching in a house. It's a full house. They're packed out. There's people outside looking in through the windows trying to hear him. And Jesus is teaching away. He's teaching about the kingdom. People are listening. And all of a sudden, the roof starts to have, they were dirt roofs on top of wood, and the dirt starts coming down, and they hear noises in the roof. You know, around my house, we have squirrels. You know, everybody, you all have squirrels probably, right? And so you can be laying in bed and you hear this, and it's a squirrel going across the eaves on the back of the house, running along, and you hear, anybody else hear that, or is it just my house? Yeah. I could tell you a funny story about Trapper John, but I'm not going to right now, and squirrels. You know, I know a guy that thought he was going to get rid of a squirrel and instead caught a skunk. I know a guy. He's sort of related to me. And And so, let me get back to my story. The roof starts, you know, because you couldn't do it without dirt falling down. And Jesus is teaching. And all of a sudden, the dirt starts falling down and daylight starts appearing in the roof. And they start prying up the logs that we're using it in. And all of a sudden, there's four guys that poke their head over and look down. And then they have a guy on some kind of stretcher or mat or something, and they got ropes. The only way I can think of is they got ropes tied to the corners of the mat, and they start letting them down in the middle of the crowd, and Jesus is teaching. And I don't know about you, but if that were me, I'd be thrown off, seriously. Actually, if that happened today, and we heard somebody up on the roof trying to beat through the roof, we'd send the ushers up there to try to stop them. You know, that roof is expensive. And Jesus looked at him, and it says when he saw their faith, speaking of the guys who actually let the man down in front of him, that he healed the man right there. And he used it as a teaching moment because it was an interruption that had a purpose. In our text, this guy stood up to test Jesus. And he asked, Jesus, what's the great command? And Jesus did what every observant Jew would do. And he said that the first and great commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. For an observant Jew, he restates the monotheism of the Old Testament and the New. And he says, you're going to worship God and Him alone. And we've been studying the commandments on Wednesday night. And that's the very first one. And then he said, and the second one is like unto it. And he said, here's the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so Mr. Lawyer looks at him and says, well, let's parse that a little bit further. Let's get down to it here. I want to know who is my neighbor. You know the reason he was asking that? Because there were a whole lot of people he wanted to disqualify. You got your seatbelt buckled? Sometimes, if we're not careful, and we come to that question about who is my neighbor, we have a whole lot of people that we want to disqualify, that God says, I want to interrupt your thinking to understand that your neighbor is not just the person who looks like you, talks like you, acts like you, and thinks like you. That's not who your neighbor is alone. And Jesus begins to stretch this man's thinking. And he tells the story about a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And thieves stop him and rob him and beat him and leave him in the ditch for dead. And in that story, he talks about a priest who is coming by. And the priest looks at the man and I don't know the thought processes that went on. This is a professional, religious, holy man. He looks at that man and he walks by on the other side. There's been all kinds of speculation about why he walked by on the other side. Some believe it was because he thought the guy was dead, and if he touched him, he'd be unclean, wouldn't be able to do his job. And so he walked by on the other side. Others think he was just in a hurry. The second guy who came by was a Levite, a member of the tribe that served in the temple and looked after things. And again, if anybody should have stopped, it should be the Levite, because he was a good temple going guy. He was involved. But he looked at him and he too passed on the other side. And that lawyer, if he were to answer the question, who would be my neighbor? He would say, the priest for sure, the Levite for sure. They passed him on by. And then the Bible says that there was a Samaritan who came by. And that Samaritan looked at this man, this Jewish man lying in the ditch. And he stopped his donkey. He got off and he walked over to see what was going on. And you've got to understand, the Jews hated Samaritans, and Samaritans hated Jews. What's funny about it was they were literally kissing cousins. Like they were related. It wasn't like they were from different parts of the world. They were related. But they hated each other. They would have nothing to do with each other. They thought, the Jews thought the Samaritans were dogs. They prayed, "Lord, don't make me a Samaritan." They hated them. Unless we think it was one-sided, the Samaritans hated the Jews. They saw them as overbearing and proud and you know, all of that. They did not like it. There were two groups living side by side who didn't like each other, who hated each other. Oh, I feel a sermon coming on there. Because you see, they didn't hate each other because they did evil things to each other all the time. They hated each other because it was passed along to them. You know, Samaritans were brought up, you don't have anything to do with Jews. And Jews were brought up, you don't have anything to do with Samaritans. Samaritans are bad. We don't like Samaritans. We don't have anything. You don't shop at Samaritan stores. You don't buy Samaritan things. We don't like them. You don't go to Samaria. That's where you don't go. But that guy stopped and got down off his donkey and helps a Jewish man who's beaten and almost dead. As I read through that story, there were some things that struck me. First of all, it was messy. I don't know if he packed a first aid kit on his donkey. Probably not. As I was thinking about this, it was messy. It was inconvenient. It was not expected. You see, when he got down into the... He had to get off his donkey, get down in the ditch with this guy. He did not have a whole doctor's kit with him. It doesn't mention anybody else helping. I was thinking about this and I thought, how did he do this? The first thing he would have had to do if he's going to help him, he had to bandage him up. He's getting the guy's blood on himself. He's working with him. He's spending his time. He's getting messed up himself. And then, as I was thinking about it, how did he get him from the ditch onto his donkey? I never thought about that. As many times as I've read that story, how did he get him from the ditch onto his donkey? The only way he could do it was, first of all, the guy was lying there naked. He had to put some kind of clothing on him, and the only clothing he had was probably his outer garment, his coat. And so not only is he getting messed up, his coat's getting messed up. And then the only way he could have done it, he has to reach down, probably put his arm under the guy and help him up. And it may have been he had to put both arms and carry him to the donkey and then lift him up. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, that's messy. That's awkward. That's closer than he's probably ever been to a Jewish guy. But Jesus was taking the opportunity to teach them that your neighbor is not just the person you agree with. It's not just the person that's just like you. And that we're not called to be the guy in the ditch, but we are called to be the good Samaritan that comes along to help. And sometimes that interruption to our day is messy. And sometimes it gets us dirty. And sometimes it gets us down in the ditch to help somebody. And it takes our time and our energy and our effort. And not only that, he put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, and said, "I will give you money now to pay that you look after him, because I've got to move on. But I will sacrifice." the gift of interruption. Interruption. Sometimes God's greatest opportunities are packaged in our lives as interruptions. All the inconveniences. Bandages him up. Puts oil on him. Puts him on his donkey. Carries him along. It's kind of like what Jesus did for us. And I come to ask you this question. Could there be room in the inconveniences of life for an opportunity? Could we understand that sometimes God places people in our way that are difficult as an opportunity and not an obstacle? Could it be that God changes our course? I was thinking of a man named Philip in the Bible. He was having a revival in Samaria, and people were getting baptized and delivered and healed, and they're receiving the Holy Ghost, and things are happening. And then the Lord said, Philip, I'm taking you out of Samaria into the middle of the desert, and that is an interruption. But you see, God knew that there was going to be a guy coming along in his chariot from Ethiopia. And he'd be reading the book of Isaiah and saying, I don't understand what I'm reading. And he asks Philip, can you help me with this? And Philip gets in the chariot. It's like he was hitchhiking in safer times. And he gets in the chariot, explains it to him. And I don't know how they got baptism out of Isaiah. But all of a sudden, the Ethiopian man is saying, here's water, can you baptize me here? You see, God interrupts our plans for His greater plan. We've got to be able to see that interruption doesn't mean obstacle, it can mean opportunity. It can mean that God is changing the course of my life to see an interruption as a gift. There are some things that are really necessary. The first one is you've got to make room. You've got to make room. The priests and the Levite weren't necessarily bad people. They were just busy people. They were on their way in a hurry to get their work done at the temple. And sometimes we can get busy doing good things that we miss the opportunity of the interruption. That we miss what God has put there. They were characterized more by selfishness than anything else. And Jesus challenged that thinking. We can miss opportunities because we become so focused on ourselves. And God stretches us. That means creating margin in our lives, in our time, in our energy, our minds, our wallets. If you don't have margin, it's hard to stretch. You see, when our schedules are crammed so full that we don't feel like we can take time for anything, our schedules are just too full. When we have no margin built within our lives. The second thing, we've got to make room. The second thing is to ask God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. The disciples of Jesus liked to protect him. They didn't want people coming to him all the time, but Jesus would often say, leave the people alone, let them come. It may be an interruption, but it's also an opportunity. Brothers and sisters, there are times that what seems like an interruption in your life is actually God bringing an opportunity to you. I was reading in the Old Testament, and this is in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. A foreign king got very angry at the prophet because they were trying to take the land, and every time the king and his generals made a decision, the prophet would tell the king of Israel, here's what they're going to do. And so the foreign king said, all right, somebody is leaking. That's a common thing today, isn't it? Somebody is leaking here. We got a traitor in the midst. Because as soon as we make a plan, the prophet is telling the king down there what we're going to do, and this is not working for me. And so one of the generals said, well, king, you know what? Really, the problem isn't anybody here is leaking. The problem is there's a prophet down there. And as soon as we make up our minds, God's telling the prophet and the prophet's telling the king. And the only thing you can do is get rid of the prophet. You'll have to excuse me this little bit of humor, but basically what they were saying was you got to make Israel a non-profit society. Sorry, couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I told myself I shouldn't say that. And here's what happens. They come down, they surround the city at night, and they're coming for the prophet. And the prophet's servant gets up, looks over the wall of the city, and says, whoa, they weren't there last night. We're in big trouble. And here's the amazing thing. If they were making plans and God was telling their plans to the prophet every time, what makes them think you can come in the middle of the night and God doesn't know it? Like, really? What makes them think that you can come in the middle of the night, kill the prophet, and God's not going to tell the prophet, hey, they're coming to kill you? And so the servant went to get the prophet, brings him up to the wall, says, hey, look at all these armies. We're in trouble. What are we going to do? And we're going to pick up the story here in the book of Kings. And here's what happens. This is New Living. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, went outside, he saw there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And he said, oh, sir, what do we do now? The young man cried to Elisha, and then look at this next part. Elisha says, don't be afraid. Hey, I'm going to stretch your mind here. Sometimes God stretches our minds to see his limitless capacity. He said, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Hey, you're seeing all of these, but we've got more. And the servant's going, what? Like, what do you mean? And Elisha prayed. He didn't pray, Lord, send chariots of fire. He didn't say, Lord, send your guys to help us. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Because, Lord, his mind needs to be stretched to see that God is bigger than the enemy is. God is stronger than the giant you face. God is greater than the culture we're in. That God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. That God is greater. God has to stretch your mind. And sometimes he brings a host against you. But David said, though an host should encamp against me, in this will I be confident, that the Lord, I feel it now, the Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? God uses the obstacle to stretch your mind to see his greatness. And sometimes our prayer needs to be, Lord, it's not Lord, remove the army. It's Lord, open my eyes. Hallelujah. Stretch my capacity. Let me see what you are doing. And when he prayed that prayer, the hillside was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Interruptions. Interruptions. God works through the interruptions in our lives. Let me tell you another story. I've got to bring this to a close in just a few moments, but let me tell you a couple stories from the Bible. One is about Jesus going to the house of an important man to heal his daughter. And as he's going, there's a huge crowd around him. And he stops up in the middle of the walk and says, who touched me? And his disciples looked at him and said, Master, there's lots of people touching you. You're in the middle of a crowd. They're jostling all around his narrow lanes. And there's lots of people touching you. But Jesus turned around and he said, who touched me? Because virtue has gone out from me. One of the greatest miracles we talk about in the Bible is the woman in that crowd who reached out and touched Jesus when everything said she should not be able to do it. but virtue flowed. She was an interruption on the way to heal Jairus' daughter. But Jesus stopped, and he not only said, I feel virtue's gone out, but he turned and looked at her and said, woman, you are made whole right now. You're not just, your problem is not just solved, you are made complete right now. Jesus took advantage of interruptions. Let me tell you about a guy. He had ups and downs in his life. He was adopted into a royal family, and some of you already know who I'm talking about. He's adopted into a royal family, brought up as the son of the king. His people were slaves. He comes to a certain age and he says, well, I'm going to identify with my people, the slaves. Then he gets, he's trying to protect a couple of Israelites who are getting beaten by a slave master, and he hits the guy too hard and kills him, buries the body in the sand, thinks he's got it covered up, but the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. You can never hide anything well enough. And so he hides the body in the sand. The next day he sees two Israelites fighting. He says, hey, guys, no, this is not good. One looks at him and says, what are you going to do? Kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And he knows the gig is up. Like, it's time to get going. And he runs off. He goes to Midian. He starts a family. He's there. He's 40 years old when he goes. He's there for 40 years. He's tending sheep in the middle of the desert. It's a day like any other day, way out in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, the bush starts to burn. You know the story of Moses. The bush starts to burn. God speaks to him out of the bush, says, take off your shoes. The ground you're on is holy ground. I want to speak to you here. This is an interruption to your day. But it wasn't just an interruption to his day. It was an interruption to his life. Because God began to speak to him and said, you're the guy that I'm going to use to bring Israel out of Egypt. You're going to be the deliverer. You're going to be the leader. You're going to do it. And what did Moses do? Moses said, I can't talk well. You need to get my brother. God had interrupted him to change the course of his life. And there are sometimes that God will place a person in your way. There are sometimes that God will put you in a circumstance. There are sometimes that God will let you go through something that are meant to be an interruption in your life that will change the direction of your life. Not just the direction for the moment, but the direction of your life. Think about it. There are some of you that you were hard towards the gospel, and somebody would invite you to church and you laugh at them and say, no way am I going to church. You've got to be kidding me. I don't go to church. I'm not doing that. And you went through life, and then maybe more than one, and then all of a sudden things change, something happens, your life gets interrupted. And all of a sudden you're thinking, I should go to church. Or somebody comes along and says, why don't you come to church with me? And every other time you blew them off. But this time it was a divine interruption. God uses interruptions change our lives. And there are sometimes, if you're a follower of Jesus, that God will use an interruption in your life or a circumstance in your life because he wants to change the direction of your life to his direction. Because sometimes we map out our own directions. And we've got it all planned out. This is the way it's got to be. And God is saying, I'm going to interrupt it because there's something I want to do in that life. There's sometimes that we get our direction set. And God is saying, no, I've got something better for you. I've got something different for you. Let me tell you another story. The musicians come back. A story about a guy who is fulfilling what he thinks is a God mandate. His name was Saul of Tarsus. You might know him better as Paul. He's going up to Damascus to put Christians in jail. He thinks he's doing God a favor. He's riding along with all of his buddies. He's got a whole posse with him. He's riding along and God says, enough. And all of a sudden a bright light shines from heaven, a voice speaks. Saul falls off his donkey, has a conversation with God. And you can imagine when he says, who art thou, Lord? And that voice out of the light says, I am Jesus whom you persecuted. And that's got to be one of those uh-oh moments. Like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. had to be. But it was a divine interruption. That God was saying, you've been going this direction, but I want to take you in this direction. Because of that divine interruption, we have about half of the New Testament that Paul was the writer. Because God said, I'm going to interrupt your path. You're going the wrong direction. You might be a follower of Jesus, and every once in a while, followers of Jesus get on the wrong path, and God has to send a divine interruption along. He doesn't do it to destroy you. He doesn't do it to hurt you. But sometimes we need that divine interruption as a wake-up call that says, where are you going? What are you doing? Sometimes we get enmeshed in relationships that we shouldn't be involved in. And God interrupts our path. Sometimes we choose careers that are really not what God wants for us. And God interrupts us. Sometimes we begin to make decisions that are not good decisions, and God interrupts us. I have one last story. And as we stand together, I promise, because you're standing, this is the last one. It's the story of a guy who was a very good man. And one day, he's just minding his own business. And he looks up, and there's an angel. Now, I've never seen an angel. I don't know how I would react, but he sees an angel. And the angel says, all of your prayers and all of your giving, God's heard it all. It's like a memorial before God. And so God sent me, and here's the deal. You go and send for Peter, and he'll tell you what you need to do. This guy's name was Cornelius. You can read about him in Acts chapter 10. And so Cornelius sent for Peter. He sent guys. And the interesting thing is that God was having to interrupt Peter's day on the other end of it, because Cornelius was a Gentile. Oh, did I mention? Jews not only hated Samaritans, but they didn't like Gentiles either. See, God was stretching Peter. He's saying, Peter, you got to understand, I got more than what you think. You know, sometimes God has to stretch our minds to understand, I've got more than what you think. Long and short of it, God has to work Peter over. Peter comes to Cornelius' house, begins to preach. And wouldn't you know it, there's an interruption. Peter's preaching, and the Bible says that while Peter was preaching these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those that heard the word. God didn't even wait for him to get down. He said, I'm going to interrupt you right now because there's something I want to do. I want to change Cornelius. I want to change his house forever. Divine interruption. You might be here this morning and you've been investigating Jesus. You've been looking at, how do I get to God, or is God worth getting to? And He is. But I want to tell you, sometimes God puts interruptions in our path, the gift of interruptions. That will stretch us. That will correct us. That will empower us and that will heal us. But He waits for us to recognize the opportunity in the interruption. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, He's here for you today. Doesn't matter if you've known Him before and walked away and you say, well, will God ever take me back? Absolutely, He will. You might be here today and you know there have been some things that have been interrupting your path. You're like, why? What's happening? What is God trying to speak through the interruption? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray right now. Father, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for Your Spirit. Lord, I thank You for even the interruptions that You put in our path. Lord, you put in our lives, you use them to speak to us, and you use them to stretch us, and you use them to work in us. Lord, I pray for each person here today that, Lord, rather than being frustrated, we can embrace the interruption for what it will teach us, for what it will do in us, or for what it will allow us to do and be in somebody else's life. Lord, I ask you that your Spirit would speak into our hearts and lives. Lord, do something amazing in our hearts now. Lord, I ask you for it now in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. The song says, "Here I am, here I am." Our custom is to always have a prayer time at the end of each service, and we're going to do that this morning. But I walked in here today feeling like there's somebody that God's interrupting your path today to speak to you, to change you, to work in you. And as we join together to pray, we've got lots of room around the front here. I want to invite you to step out of your seat and come and find a place to stand and pray or pray with somebody. I feel like God has divinely orchestrated in somebody's life today an interruption that's going to bring you closer to Jesus. That's going to empower you with His Spirit. And you can look at it and say, I'll be frustrated and irritated, or you can understand that God's at work right now. God's at work. And as we sing, I'm opening the altar for prayer. Let's find a place to talk to Jesus today.